How many of y'all been redeemed in here? You're not what you used to be.
Every time I hear that song when I'm in my truck, I sing it like Billy Duvall in a truck. I think I am Billy. I've been redeemed. Man, I want to pray, and we're out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Some of y'all are saying, thank you, Jesus. So I want to give you the rhythms, and I want to thank you all for hanging in there, because we've dealt with some difficult stuff, and you know, a lot of you have come to me very sincerely, and that's why we do what we do. And you said, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I said, yes, in the Bible. That God wants us to live in such a way. Now, I want you to know, anytime God puts a restriction there, it's so that you might live better. You understand that? God does not restrict us to confine us, but he restricts us in places so that we might live well. Do y'all understand God's vision? Is that you would have a full and abundant life. Everybody get that? God's vision is that you would have a full and abundant life. Now, let's talk about a couple of things we've talked about. When Pastor Jamie did a great job, man, on his sermon, I've listened to it twice just because I couldn't believe he preached it the first time. So I thought he might have got a sub, and I checked, man, and God just gave him some insight and wisdom on that scripture. And so Jamie talked about we got to flee. So I want you to know that when you cognitively ingest an understanding, then you got to put it to an action. And if you notice, the Bible puts some action words. Immorality, things like that, what should be our response? Flee. So run! And he used Joseph. Joseph did what? He ran from it. You know, Potiphar's wife. Y'all remember that Potiphar's wife? Come in, put a move on. He told you that, didn't he? I heard it in the sermon. Put a move on it. And she wasn't sly about it either. She said, come to bed with me. Pretty clear. Wasn't an Indian, though. I mean, she was there. He ran. So flee from things that'll kill you. And then cling and stay put in marriage. Isn't that what Paul said for 100 verses? Stay put. Wake up with your own wife. Somebody say amen. Y'all ought to say amen to that. All right, now that's the first step. Amen, you woke up with. Now you get a blessing when you wake up with her and like her. Okay, that's the next dimension of marriage. I hope, here's what I tell people. If you choose to be married, at least enjoy it. Make sense? I've told you all this before. I've been to 50th anniversaries that were supposed to be a celebration of marriage, and what they were is a celebration of endurance. This is not the image that God has for us in that. He doesn't want us to just tolerate. He wants us to live. I've come that you might have a full and abundant life. Now go with me to the 8th chapter, because today we got another action, okay? Flee from things that will kill you. Stay with things that God has put you in. And now we get this truth. We have a reaction to the world and to each other. How many of y'all love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? Because that's what he tells us to do. He says, love me with everything you got. And I want to tell you something. In Hillview, I want to thank you that I get to preach this to you. And guess what? The majority of you do this. You love people. How many of y'all love people? You really do. There's only one reason this church has seen what it's seen is we love God with all of our heart. But guess what? We love people. And if you're here at the church, and this is your first time to hang out here, I want you to know, if you're sitting there going, man, I hope they don't find out what I've done. Hey, I don't want you to get too tore up about that, because it's already been done here at least once, I promise. And some of us, we're so focused on where we've been, we can never hear where we can go. We so stink and stay trapped in our sins that we don't understand God is a redeemer. A redeemer. Now, you don't have to go to Hillview more than 2 services to realize that I'm not a rule and regulation guy. If you're into rules and regulation and being a Pharisee, good luck to you. I hope you have a wonderful life. But if you're what heaven is, I don't want to go. And praise be unto God, I actually read the Bible and didn't listen to a bunch of preachers. And Jesus is not a book of rules and regulations. We already had those before he came. Plenty of them. 613 of them. Had all these regulations, and the reason God allowed all those regulations is for one distinctive purpose. They don't work. They don't work. We don't follow the rules. I'll prove it to you. How many of y'all remember when the speed limit was 55? You kind of old. I remember when the speed limit turned 55, and I was mad. And I joined a song, I think it was Motley Crue, wasn't it, Wayne? Was it Motley Crue? Who was it? It was Motley Crue. Hagar, Sammy Hagar. He had a song, I mean, I love the song. I can't drive 55. I never did drive 55. Earl, I drove 60 in protest. And Sheriff, that's on a good day. But I made sure your cruiser wasn't hanging around when I did. Because he had to enforce the what? Well, I thought to myself, if they just turn the speed limit to 70, it makes sense. I have sinned again. What's this? When it's 55, I was grabbing out being 55. You know, I'm convinced if they set the speed limit at 105, I'd have to go 106 just to feel good about the situation. Why is that? We don't like rules. Because rules seek to regulate and confine. Now watch this. In relationships, build up. And I really want to encourage us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want you to know that the world's heard all of our rules and they're not listening. They've heard all of our stinking rules. We give them to them all the time. We point fingers at them. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. We tell blind people they're blind. And that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is to introduce them to Jesus Christ so that the blind might what? Hello! So that those who are confined in sin might be brought to what? God's grace, God's life. Exactly right, Tony. That when we die, we might live on. Now, y'all get the message. Okay, we've had to flee. We've had to stay. And now I want to give you what we're supposed to be build up people. Build up people. Paul calls us to build other human beings up. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the least things we do in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. We fuss, we judge, and we condemn, but rarely do we build up. Jesus built people up. Is that not amazing? Jesus built people up. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not a builder of people, that God's going to just influence you right now and say, wait a minute, I need to get a different attitude. I need to get a different attitude. How many of y'all, wherever you go, you look for what's wrong? How many of you, wherever you go, you look for what's wrong instead of celebrating what's right? How many of y'all realize that we do have some kids that are actually learning in our education system? We do. We have some people that actually graduate. We have some people that actually embrace knowledge. We have some people that actually do some great things. I don't know if this is true yet, but somewhere out of 553 politicians, I believe there's two honest ones. At least they're honest about this. They all want to get elected. They've told the truth there. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is there are still some things worthy of building up if we will allow Jesus to show us where they are. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want you to hear what he said. They got a question. Remember, this is a letter to an early church. They're living in a world that's gone crazy. How many of y'all are living in a world that's gone crazy? Tim, I know it's Bowling Green Christian Academy. Y'all do a beautiful job teaching history and letting our kids know. This ain't the first time we've been crazy in the world, is it? If you study the Bible, you study history, have we been crazy before? How many of y'all have ever studied history? Have we ever done stupid stuff before? I have one of my great colleagues here. By the way, our associational director is here today. John Mark, you've studied a little bit of history, and you've had to study a lot of military history because he's a chaplain too. Have we done stupid stuff before? Absolutely. We act like this is something new. Fox News acts like this is the first time we've done stupid stuff as human beings. Read history. Read Jesus. We're supposed to be build up people. Now listen, a lot of y'all in education, I'm going to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, may y'all have a build up mentality. A build up mentality. We need teachers that build kids up. We need to be a group of people that quit labeling people. I'm so tired of labels. I'm glad I went to school when I went to school because they'd have had more alphabets attached to me than they could shake a stick at. My school file would have looked like that. I'd have been attention deficit, this, that, uncooperative, behavioral problem. They'd have had me in all kinds of special classrooms. Guess what I was? A male. This is what I was diagnosed with. Maleness. A man. We don't sit still and go to tea parties. Jonathan, has your wife now that you're married, isn't it pretty cool? Now you're married, man. Jonathan, if Becca comes home and says, Jonathan, I want you to go a baby shower with me. Do you just get tingles from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, excited about that moment? Me either. If my wife asked me to go a baby shower, I said, they're born every day. I said, only you women would celebrate something natural. I don't go to no baby shower. Most of the time, I don't even want the baby in my house. I like them better when they get two and start running around. People, these mamas go, oh, they're so cute. Yeah, till you got to change their diaper, they ain't cute then. I always thought, how can something little smell so bad? But they do, but we have showers about it. Now, women, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If your husband went to baby shower with you, it's because he loves you. He didn't want to go. He sat there and listened to a bunch of other women, and the whole time he's going, I don't want to go. God's provided for men that have to go to baby showers, though. Now we got our phone where you can get the ball game on your phone, and you can sit there and watch the ball game and act like you're enjoying the experience. God is a merciful God, amen? And if you're a man that has to go to baby showers, you need to grow up and put your foot down. Anyway, look at here. You need to learn how to run things a little better than that. You need to say, go on, bless you, honey. Mm-hmm. And if she makes you wear a pink hat when you go to the baby shower, you really need some work. Look at here. But we've already covered that in 1 Corinthians 7. We're in 1 Corinthians 8. Now about food sacrifice to idols. They had an everyday question. What about this food sacrifice to idols? Paul, what do we do about this food sacrifice to idols? Now, I want you to hear what Paul says because I want us to get the essence of this. We ought to be build-up people. When people get around you, you ought to care enough about them that they'd be better because they hung out with you. Now, this is a Jesus principle. And my heart's broken. I'm just going to tell you the truth. My heart's broken. I was so excited about the next generation of pastors coming in. And I pray. And I tell you what, Aswani, the sneaky little devil, has puffed them all up. Look what he says here. Now, be careful. We know that we all possess knowledge. Guess what a group of people are all hungry in? Knowledge. They think if they know a particular theology, they think if they can say big words, they think if they hold to this principle, this system, then they know a little more than you. That's not the attitude of those who believe. The attitude of belief is what I know ought to bless you, not what I know ought to make you feel inferior. You know what I'm talking about? We're not here to put each other down. However, we are here to put each other up. How many of y'all glad you know some people that know something? Huh? But how many of y'all found this? Together we get more things done. True. I got a dear friend. I'm not going to mention his name just because I don't want to incriminate him. He's here today. But we boat together. And his wife always jokes. She says, between two of you, there's one person that knows how to run a boat. See, he got a little knowledge. I got a little knowledge. But when we put us together, we're better than if we're apart trying to express our own knowledge. Does that make sense? What if we did that in a very macro way instead of a micro way? What if we said, you know what? I'm excited about what God's given you and God's given me and God's given you. And we started building each other up with what we know. Isn't that a greater way to live than tearing each other down with what we know? I want to give you a warning. The Bible is not a weapon to the human mind. It is the enhancer of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It verifies the truth that God has already put in us, and it declares a better way to live. Don't ever let anybody take the Bible and lord over you. And Paul says, listen, we possess knowledge. And we might have some knowledge of God that other people don't know. However, we got to be careful with knowledge, because knowledge what? Puffs. How many of y'all have ever met a puffed up believer? Oh, boy, I have. They'll come up to me and go, well, Pastor Steve, have you read so-and-so's book? And the reason I'm not impressed with so-and-so's book, because I had lunch with so-and-so and I wasn't impressed with them. So why did I want to waste 3 hours reading their book? Or for me, 3 days. I told y'all, see spot run, my spot runs a little slow. You know what I mean? In fact, I was in the fifth grade before he jumped the fence. Okay, so I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not to be impressed with so-and-so. We're to be caught up in Jesus. That makes sense. I want y'all to be very careful Watch folk who think knowledge is where it is. Because what you'll become is not a follower of Jesus Christ, but you will become a very old false cult called Gnostics. Those who believe knowledge is salvation. Knowledge is not salvation. Jesus is salvation. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, this does not give you an excuse to be stupid. I've also combed the scripture. There's no place in there where it says God blesses the dumb. There's not one place in there that says that. It's not being without knowledge. It's understanding that knowledge enhances, but it cannot save. Make sense? And be careful with your knowledge. Don't be puffed up in what you know, but be caught up in the love that builds others up. Does everybody understand that? If you don't mind, look at a worship person real near you and just go, I want you to get better. Just tell them that. I want you to get better. Come on, share it. Up in the balcony, share it. I want you to what? Some of y'all know my wife, Elizabeth. Guess what? Hey, things are going well with us. You know what she told me? I'm getting better. Now, John, I know Christine's worked on you for over 50 years, and Christine, he's still getting what? Still getting better, isn't he? See, if you stay at it long enough, you'll get what? How many of y'all are better with Jesus this year than you were last year? Come on, now we're talking. That's what we're talking about. How many of you have arrived in perfect? Do not raise your hand. You hadn't arrived yet. You're still what? I'm still learning. How many of y'all glad to be living a life where you're still learning? I don't care if you're 90. Earl, you are. You're still what? Learning. You got to learn about all these buttons on the car that they didn't have back in 1950. I mean, think when you started driving, you had a clutch and a gear shift. Now you got people that talk to you in the car. When you say you're hearing voices when you drive, you really are. When Earl started driving, if he told somebody he's hearing voices, he would have been taken immediately to the little hospital on the hill. We're still learning. Look what he said. Now you know. He said, you know some things, but don't allow what you know to excuse you from loving people. Love builds up. It does. How many of y'all find if somebody loves you there, it's a lot easier than if they try to preach you there? How many of y'all preaching never worked? Preaching at people don't work. People preached at me, and guess what I did? I went and did exactly what they said don't do. Tell the truth. I remember preachers in our youth, don't ever smoke a cigarette. Guess what I did after worship that afternoon? Smoked one. And guess what I found out? I liked them. But he'd say stupid stuff that wasn't true. He'd go to hell because you're smoking a cigarette. You don't go to hell because you smoke a cigarette. Now, you get lung cancer because you smoke a cigarette. And there's warnings on the side. This will cause health damage. That's why I don't know why people are surprised all the time. You know, they walk in and they go, man, I got lung cancer. Did you smoke? Yeah, 4 packs a day. I don't know why God would do this. I do. I mean, there's some surprises. You know what I mean? If you've eaten Big Macs all your life every day and you have a heart attack, don't be surprised. If you stick your finger in a light socket and you die because you were electrocuted, why are you surprised? But we're kind of like that in life, aren't we? We're surprised. Sheriff, if you pull me over when I'm not obeying a speed limit, why am I surprised? I did do this one time, Sheriff. Had a guy pull me over and he goes, sir, you were going 75. I said, I was not, officer. I was going 82. He goes, I've never had anybody tell the truth about this. I said, well, I'm cleaning my speedometer's right. I said, what'd you clock me at? He said, 72. I said, I had 82 on the speedometer. We got a problem here, officer. We're 10 miles in difference here. Who knows who's right? He said, you're still getting a ticket. Look at here. Those who think they know something do not know yet as they ought to know. I want to tell you something. I don't care how much information you have. If you don't care about human beings, you don't understand the heart of Jesus. I don't care how many things you can expound upon, and I don't care how many big words you can use, because I got a big word to all the big word people. Whoopity-doo, that's a big word. It's not about being impressive. It's about being embracive and loving. Amen? Preach and let Jesus come forth out of your life. Look what he says. Verse 3, but whoever loves God is known by God. Folks, we ought to wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, that you know me. Thank you, God, that you know me. So now watch, if you look in the scripture, here's not the big deal. People will go, well, I know God. That ain't the big deal. God knows you. See, you didn't call upon God. God called you. I want you to really understand this direction. You can't get saved on your own. God didn't save you because you were a good little boy, all special and nice. God saved you because you and I were outlaws. We had broken his law. We stood against God. We were separated from God. And by his grace, by his mercy, by his love, by his will, he reached down from the cross and redeemed humanity. We can only be saved by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Somebody hear me. We didn't get saved because we don't smoke. We didn't get saved because we chose not to drink. We didn't get saved because we followed some 1950 Leave It to Beaver code. We got saved because God Almighty saved us. Now, when you get there, guess what? You get crazy like your pastor. Andy, I believe if God can save a heathen like me, he can save one like you. And he can save one like that behind you. Now, women, y'all ain't heathens. Y'all just out of line. God save you every once in a while. How many of you realize we all get out of line? Until we realize that, guys. Now watch. If God has graced me, what does that do in my relationship to other people? To grace them. May you know Jesus. May you be saved. May you be built up. May you be forgiven. May you live. But some of us want to talk about all the knowledge we have. Well, I believe the Lord only forgives those. Watch this. I've heard people say this. I believe the Lord only forgives those who forgive themselves. That's not in the Bible. That's folklore. Because here's the problem. You can't forgive yourself. I got tons of friends. They tell me, Pastor, I will feel better when I forgive myself. I said, you might, but you're going to forgive yourself and still go to hell. There's your problem. And then you're going to feel bad when you get to hell. You know what I'm talking about? So it's not about feeling good. It's about living. Living in God's love. Look what he says. So then, he sets it up first. This is about approaching the world where you build others up. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world. And there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, little g, and many lords, little l. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom all things live. Now here's what he's saying. We don't believe in other gods. How many of y'all understand we don't believe in other gods? I don't care what the horoscope says, because I don't believe in what the horoscope says. We still are faced with what? Other gods. Y'all may not be familiar with this, but I don't care what Oprah says. Have y'all come to that conclusion? But guess what? Oprah's a god for many people. I've heard women quote Oprah. Well, Oprah said, let me help you with that. Whoopity-doo. She's not God. She doesn't know. Watch this. Oprah doesn't know any more than you do. She just has a lot more money than you do. She's not loved by God any more than you are. Isn't that amazing? It's not about what you know. It's about who holds you. Who gives your life? So they ask a question. What about this meat sacrificed to idols? Do we eat it or we don't eat it? There's the practical question. And Paul answers it this way. Does it build up or does it put down? Now, church, I want to tell you, we need to make decisions in our own lives in such a way that others would be built up. Amen? And you got to be careful. Now, I want to be careful with this. I'm not talking living for other people. I'm talking about living for God with other people. Does that make sense? Because there are some brothers that are weak. You need to be concerned. You want everybody around you to be better. Does that make sense? You got to love them so you'd be better. Now, let me ask you, how many of y'all like being fussed at? I mean, be honest with me. How many of y'all you wake up in the morning and you just say, man, I just pray to God today. Somebody fusses at me today sometime during the day. How many of y'all that works for you? Does it work for anybody? It may work for some of you. Does it work for anybody in here? It don't work for me. But how many of you, when somebody shows you in love, how many of y'all respond better than there? Yeah, me too. Man, Elizabeth figured that out. I'm doing stuff now I never thought I'd do. Because she's building me up. She'd go, honey, you know, if you could do that, that'd really help me. I'd go over there and do it. She does a cheerleader fit, and I go, hey, I like it. I might do the next thing. Now, if she just goes, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, then I become a rebel. And I go, I can't drive 55. Posty notes don't inspire me. What it really gives me is smart aleck remarks. This is one of the most smart aleck ones. Well, if you loved me, you wouldn't ask me. What about that? See, it's not about manipulation. It's about love. Rules tend to manipulate. We tend to fall in love with people and leaders instead of Jesus Christ. Paul set it up here. Everything you do, may it illustrate Jesus Christ as Lord. And hold on. You may think this is weird, but guess what? Do we have to worry about meat sacrificed to idols anymore in our culture? You would think. However, have you ever dined in an Asian restaurant? They're like Chinese food. I saw some folks was going, what Asian? What are you talking about? Asian food? Yeah. Chinese, Japanese, Asian. How many of y'all have ever been there and the Buddha shrine was there? And I said, don't touch the shrine, it's sacred. Now, me and you, no. Now, see, that's why Christians get in trouble. This is one of the grossest moments, man. Listen, that guy believes the Buddha is real. Do I believe the Buddha is real? No. But guess what? Do we win? This is a great illustration of this. Do we win any communication points calling their Buddha a fat guy? Come on. I had some amazing friends, man. Eventually, we built a relationship. I didn't say, I was respectful where they come from. Because I knew a little bit about the Buddha. The Buddha is a way. So I just kept living. Eventually, they go, do you have the Buddha in you? I said, I have the way in me. They go, you do? I said, yeah. And the truth and the life. But he has a different name. Jesus. Now, isn't that better than if I went over there as a believer in Jesus Christ? Don't make fun of the other gods. Let your God reign in love. Does that make sense? And when I talk to my Islamic friends, it's pretty cool because they'll go, what's the difference between Jesus and Muhammad? I said, Jesus don't want to kill nobody. It's a huge difference. Jesus doesn't kill people. Muhammad does. Muhammad declares war. Jesus declares what? Peace and love. That's a huge difference to me. You know what I'm talking about? That doesn't seem like all gods are the same to me. Hello? And it'll be 3 cold days in hell before y'all convince me because I've been in the Middle East that Islam and Christianity are the same deal. They're not. And here's the biggest deal. In Islam, you got to save yourself. And you got to follow. I'd be horrible. I mean, you miss one prayer on the rug, you're in trouble. I guarantee you I'd be late for one. But see what I'm saying? It's about you saving yourself. These are not the same gods. Watch this. In Jesus does what? He saves us. He saves us. Like food regulations. I knew I'd be in trouble if they were food regulations. How many of y'all want something as soon as somebody tells you you can't have it? Isn't that the craziest thing y'all have ever seen? Like, I wasn't even thirsty on this trip. We were out in the desert, and they said, we'll be out of water for 2 hours. There will be no water. As soon as they said that, I got thirsty. Aren't you all that way? As soon as somebody tells me that there's not a bathroom available, I want to go to the bathroom. If they just wouldn't say anything, I'd be all right. Any of y'all have a problem? How many of y'all aren't even hungry? As soon as somebody says you can't eat in 4 hours, what do you start doing? Especially Americans. Oh, God, we're going to die. It's not about rules and regulations, man. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful. Wherever you go, may it declare God. And here's what he said. You know that there's no power in the idol, but your life better illustrate that there's power in Jesus. Does that help you all make decisions. Listen, don't ever make fun of somebody else, but love them towards the Lord's direction. Does that make sense? One of the things we lack in Christianity, be respectful to people that don't know. Now, I really want to give you this illustration. How would you help a blind person across the street? Would this be a good way? Watch out, the car's coming! Watch out for the post you're about to smack! Or it's even worse, Samson. Here's the way we do it in the church. Here goes the blind dude. Boom, he hits a big light post, and we go, "You hit a light post, sinner! Come on, and am I not telling the truth?" I mean, I used to think this was obnoxious. Any of y'all ever worked all day long? You've worked 10 or 12 hours. You finally get home. And when you get home, what are your kids doing? Acting as crazy as they can. Spaghetti noodles won't cook right. You're in a tiz. It's about 6:30, a quarter to 7, and here they come. Knock, knock, knock. "We're from the United Up and Down Sideways Baptist Church, and we want to know if you died in the next 5 seconds, would you go to heaven or hell?" I want to hit people that come to my door and do that. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And you wonder why people don't want to hear what we got to say? It's because I don't think we've said it to build them up. I think we've said it to try to build us up. You got to watch what you do now. You know what? And here's what Paul says. Know where you are and be hi, Elizabeth. And be respectful. I didn't say anything bad. Disservice, have I? She monitors these no matter what. So look at here. Look at here. Now look. Yeah, Jimmy. I like that. Yet there is one God and there's one Jesus through whom all things came and whom all things, look, through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrifice to food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. Would you please underline that? Food and drink is not an issue of salvation. Now, the reason you see me festered up when I say that, I am so tired of that being the issues of faith in South Central Kentucky. I got dear friends of mine, and I love them deeply. I said, "Rev, you think we could come to your church?" I said, "Yeah." And they go, "Well, you know, we drink beer." I said, "What, are you going to have one at the 11 o'clock service? Are you coming in with a cooler? What's the deal?" Why can't we accept people where they are and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them? Let them be redeemed and let God work out the details. I had a group of these young pastors, and I truly do believe in the sovereignty of God. And I asked them, I said, "If y'all believe so much in the sovereignty of God, why is it that your disciple program has to have so many details? If you believe God can save you, then why is God powerless to teach you?" Because I find this, God saves you, and then there's this real legalistic, regulatory kind of community you build. And God's about relationships. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? And I'm talking to a smart guy wrote this. His name's Paul. Smart, intellectual, scholar. And he says, listen, may your relationship be everything. Look, he tells us this. This is the way we all live. Be careful that the exercise of your right does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Here, I'm going to give you an example of that. All right? Let me ask you a question. If I was to go have a beer over at Rafferty's at 5 o'clock and just talk to some of the people that I love dearly, would that be a disturbance? If y'all say no, you're giving me ideas. I'm asking for an answer. Your silence leads me to a conclusion. At this moment of time, Bowling Green, Kentucky, it'd be what? It'd be absolutely crazy. If I was a German pastor, would it be a big deal? If I pastored the Hillview Heights Church, Germany, would it be a big deal? No. I'll give you a prime illustration of this. A group of South Carolina missionaries, they went to a German Baptist church. They had a wonderful week of ministry. God bless the whole thing. Raj, they got ready to have a fellowship. You know, Baptists have fellowship, whether they're German Baptist or Allen County Baptist. They had to have a fellowship. On Sunday night at the fellowship, of all times, Sunday night at the fellowship, They went down to the fellowship hall to German Baptist Church, and guess what was down there? Heineken's. Sauerkraut. Big old bratwurst. Hot sausage. Some of our northerners are going, that's what heaven's going to be like, folks, right? You just Well, I tell you, the South Carolina Baptists, they came unglued. I mean, they thought, how could we have loved God with these brethren all week long? And here they're going to drink a Heineken on the Sabbath. They got so upset that they all went out on the porch and lit up a Marlboro. At this moment, the German Baptist pastor realized that he had let a false teacher into his church for a week, because in Germany, any Christian that uses tobacco doesn't understand their relationship with God. Now you see how crazy it gets. You know what, Paul? Know where you are. Know what's acceptable. Know what's not acceptable. I mean, California is a weird place. You smoke a cigarette, you're going to hell. You smoke a joint, it's okay. I mean, I tell you the truth. In Kentucky, guess what? This was so funny, because when I grew up, my pastor smoked a pipe. Made you look more smart, I guess. So I had a buddy of mine, and his pastor smoked too. Now, he just smoked Marlboro's Red Crush Proof. In fact, they had to totally redo his office. Apparently, the congregation really wore him out. He'd go in there and pray and smoke. He was into the First Testament burnt offerings. He lifted them up on a constant, you know, thought he was Noah. And so my buddy, we're in seminary together. And he goes, yeah, man. He said, I got called to preach. I went down in a minute. Martin bought me a pack of Marlboros. I thought, when you got a calling, you ought to start smoking. He said, did you smoke? I said, I smoked a little bit, but it had nothing to do with the preacher. I said, our preacher smoked a pipe. But I went to revival one time, and that preacher that weighed 455 pounds was talking about how cigarettes would kill you. I wanted to say, so will Oscar Mayer weenies, but I didn't. You know, I mean, we get caught up in the wrong what? Y'all know what I'm talking about, especially in Kentucky. Now let me pause here, because we need to hear this message. May we build other people up. And may we not let food sacrificed to idols be the barrier of people knowing Jesus. And when we do, we don't do what God's made us to do. Now, that don't mean you need to participate in food sacrificed to idols. In fact, Paul later on, he says this. Listen, if you had a house and your conscience is good, you know, basically he says this. Just eat the hamburger and don't ask where it came from. Don't cause an unnecessary issue. In other words, don't sit down there having steak that night, you know, and go, now, did this T-bone come from the god of Mercury or the god of Jupiter? Or is it just steak? See, sometimes we like to create issues that aren't God's issue because we want to be recognized. Now, let's get to the truth. We ought to live in such a way that people would know Jesus by the way we live. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about living according to somebody else's standard. I'm talking about living according to whose? Jesus. How many of y'all find Jesus loves and respects people? How many of y'all think Jesus would run away from a party?
No.
He wouldn't. In fact, he went. Matthew threw him a party. Wonder what they had on the table. Pastor Steve, everybody knows it's just grape juice. I mean, it's Matthew. They did Sunday school lessons and sang Southern gospel, even though there were no electric guitars at this time. You see, our world has been created so that God may be the Lord of it. Now, you and I ought to be the grace and extended grace to people in all that we do. Not participating. Hey, watch this. Paul's very balanced here. Flee from that kills you. Cling to that God has made to honor. And guess what? Build up others around you in all that you do. If you follow that trilogy, how do you think life will go with you? Pretty well, won't it, hon? Yeah, it will. It will be blessed. Look what he says. So this weak brother or sister from whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. In other words, don't destroy people. Listen, I had to learn this. When I was young, I was awful. I preached in every holler in the state of Kentucky, Tennessee, and northern Alabama. Nobody else wanted to hear me. In a lot of these churches, I didn't know this, but they used King James only. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever been to a church, they believe only the King James Bible is the Bible. That's it. Now, I know better than that. I mean, it's written in Greek and Hebrew, and I had what? It's mostly knowledge. I'd been to the seminary. I'd even taken Hebrew and Greek class. And so, you know what? When I go to those churches today, guess what I carry with me? King James Bible, because I've grown up. Before, I was an immature spiritual jerk. Now I've grown up to be more, you know, if that's what they listen to, I know how to read it. See what I'm saying? I had a pastor friend of mine, and his belief was this. He thought you were going to hell if you wore shorts. I mean, he was one of these guys, if you had shorts on, I don't believe that. I've always said this about shorts. If you got good looking legs, hallelujah. If they ain't so pretty, put your long britches on. See what I'm saying? I mean, it's a matter of practicality. But you know what? And so you know what? I make sure. And he even believes preachers ought to wear dress pants. He believes he's read in the Bible somewhere if preachers wear jeans, they're going to hell. Obviously, I don't believe that, but he does. So that we might communicate, you know what I do? I just put a pair of dress pants on. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If it's a little issue, then you don't need to be the one that makes it a big issue. That makes sense? So has everybody understood this message today? I'm about to close it. Thank y'all for being a church that gets this. All right? We live in a world where crazy things go on. And you know what? I want you to live in the midst of that world. I want you to go to the Christmas parties. Guess what they're going to have at Christmas parties? Huh? Yeah, but guess what? I want you to be the life of the party. You know what's amazing to me? Jesus went to a wedding reception and he became the centerpiece. He created a new wine in the midst of their wine. You know what? I think you ought to live a new life in the midst of their life so that your life might be such a draw card they would ask you, hey, what do you got going on? Well, let me tell you, it's Advent time. I have hope because Jesus is my hope. I have peace because Jesus is my peace. I have some joy because Jesus is my joy. You don't have to be hokey, just be real. In all things that we do, may God come out in a real way. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen? Somebody say, I'm getting it. Here's the key line. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother and sister to fall in sin, I'll never eat meat again. I said, I won't do the things that cause that bother them. I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause them to fall. In other words, he said, man, I'm not going to eat in front of them if in front of them causes them to not be what? Built up. Make sense? But once they get built up, then you can roll. Cool deal? All right, I'm finished. Everybody get this today? Yay or nay? We need to have an altar. Y'all got to stay put too because we got to pray in a new pastor. We got a new pastor. Junior high pastor. Got another junior high pastor. And today some of y'all need to be saved. We had a beautiful lady get saved at 8 o'clock. Her name was, let me see if I say it right. Lord help me. Mikhail from the island of Palau. We're crazy. And we're where? In Bowling Green. So I want to welcome you to Hillview Heights Church. We're an international church. If you need to go to church where everybody's all one color, you're in the wrong place. We are many colors, many languages, many people from literally all over the world that God's brought together to fall in love with his grace. And I think it's the coolest thing ever. Amen. And one of the reasons that goes on here is because guess what? Before anything else, we're going to love people with the love of Jesus. Do we get it all right here? No. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're in the wrong place. If you're looking for a perfect pastor that's never going to mess up, you have definitely blown it today. Here's where it's a little bit different at Hillview. I'm not here to lord it over you. I'm here to live with you. Somebody's got to be the coach, and I get to be the coach. And I coach with a lot of other coaches. And we try to get better each and every day. I can tell you this. I'm better this year than I was last year. I get a little better every day. Am I perfect? No. Have I been made perfect in Christ? Yes. And so really every day I'm just trying to live up to what's already happened to me. If I listen to God, I have a better day than when I don't listen to God. How many of y'all found that out? Now, I didn't say better things happen to me. I said I have a better day. If I listen to God, people that usually tick me off don't tick me off as bad, even though they still do the same stuff. May we build each other up with the love of Christ. Well, you can't build up till you've been forgiven. Have y'all figured that out? God wants to forgive you. That's amazing to me. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what background you are. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care where you came from. And guess what? In the name of Jesus, I don't care what anybody else has said about you. I don't care if they've called you unworthy. I don't care if they've given you an alphabet definition to your life. I don't care if they've called you hyperactive, attention deficit, or just messed up. Guess what I know? Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. And guess what Jesus will do? Yep. He died so that you might live. Ed, sometimes it takes a bull, doesn't it, brother? Poor Ed got hit by a bull and got saved. Hallelujah. Literally. I'm not making that up. Hey, I'm privileged. I'm the only guy in Warren County that has ever baptized a bullfighter. Nobody else has done that here. Now, I'm sure in Mexico, Ed, they baptize a few bullfighters. But here, Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me my sin. You know what I was proud of Ed on? He didn't listen to a lie of the devil that some of you men listen to. Y'all listen to the lie of the devil. Some of y'all think you can get too old to be saved. That's a dodo move. That's a bad thought. Because when you get old, what do you know is going to happen eventually? Let's be clear on that. Some of y'all aren't saying anything. That either means you don't know or you're just pretending it's never going to happen. You check out. Let's not be so harsh. Let's build up. We check out of this world. Now, the reason I say it like this, I'm not going to die. I've already died. I died in the baptistry. I've got death over with. I don't have checkout over with yet. I've been paid in full. My room is already reserved in heaven. Compliments of Jesus Christ. It's already paid for. And there's no room tax or hidden resort fees. It's paid in full. And guess what? Guess what? One day, that room will be there. Elizabeth, you have a room. And we might even have room next to each other now that we're getting along. See what I'm saying? We got a room. Donnie, you got a room. But you know what? You can ask Pastor Jeff. Jeff, we pray every week. Everybody gets a room, don't we? Sundays are a rough day for me. I enjoy the Lord on Sunday morning, and I wrestle all Sunday afternoon. Sometimes I don't go to sleep on Sunday night because I see people that turn away the grace of God. And if I knew you were coming back next Sunday, I could relax, but I don't know who will be back next Sunday. I plan on it, but I don't know if I'll be back because I have no idea what the week holds. But I do know this. God will be the same next Sunday as he is right now. And right now, we can be loved by God. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Maybe you need to say this. I've done that, preacher. I need to be baptized. Please be baptized. Don't play around with that. Do what God asks you to do. So I'm just going to ask you to come today, all right? Let's stay in this altar. I don't know if we're long, short, or whatever. We're at the time God needs us to be. We need to quit worrying about times in this church. We've never worried about it for 23 years. I don't know why we need to start now. I tell you what I'm worried about. It's souls that need to be saved right now. So pray with me. Lord, draw those who need to be saved. May they get up to the altar right now. May they know that you're Lord. May they know that you forgive. May they know that you live. Lord, those that need to be baptized, I pray in the name of Jesus that those excuses die right now and they just become obedient, what you need them to do. Lord, for those that just need to come and pray and say, God, I need to be built up in you and I need to build others up. For those of you that have put other people down and just messed with them all the time, you need to say, God, forgive me for being such a gripe and help me to be gentler this week. Help me to build up. So church, this altar's open. And we don't have a lot of time. We don't have a time for a stand and stare altar today. We need to rush it, pray over it, and let God touch us. You come right now, and as you come, the Lord's going to touch you. Some of you have been saved today. Come and tell us about it. Some of you need to be baptized. Let's come and make those decisions. Let's let God have his way in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, come on. It's open up, church. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you for coming. Come on, come on, come on, come on.